This program is brought to you by PersonalLifeMedia.com.
Hello and welcome to The Third Age with the Doctor and the Man from Hollywood. I'm David.
Whoa! Yes!
Thank you very much. I'm David Devin, the Man from Hollywood. The Doctor is Peter Brill, MD. But the Doctor is not in the house today. We've got another kind of a Doctor, Bernie Sandler, KD. What is KD?
Yeah, what is KD?
That's a Doctor of Kibitzing.
Kibitzing?
Yes. So, how am I doing, Dr. Kibitzing? Kibitz me up a little bit. I don't hear him.
Yeah, I know.
Wait a second. What's going on here, folks? Yeah. Could you get her and tell her that, hey, here we are. So
the kibitzing doctor is...
The kibitzing doctor needs a microphone, Lisa. The kibitzing doctor does not on the mic. There he goes. Let's hear him. Still don't hear him.
Hello.
There we go.
There I am. Finally. Maybe I wasn't close enough.
It was turned off.
I'll take full responsibility. The girl did a great job.
Yes, yes.
I'm going to kibitz on you, David. Say something kibitzable, though. I need to have material.
Okay. How are you today?
That's not a good one.
Well, I saw you limping. You went skiing. What happened to you?
I was still denying my age for the last time. I gave up skiing this year, officially, after I got a totally wonderful new outfit to ski in.
Yeah, I heard about your outfit.
Now I have guilt.
I heard all about your outfit. So you skied because you got a new outfit.
I skied because I had to ski because I felt you don't stop skiing. It's like, you know, that's one of the things that I find happens when you get older. You're supposed to stop doing things, and I refuse to stop doing them because the theory is, if you stop doing them, you have nothing to do, and that's where the fallacy is. You have to do different things. So I'm learning now to watch ski movies. I'm going to watch more television, tennis matches, and the late-night shows. I'm going to watch more of those, too.
Ah, well, you're going to get a real workout, Dr. Sandler. Now, as our regular listeners know, on this show we turn the myths of aging upside down, which is what you're not doing right now. And we tell you everything you need to know about living in the third age. Today, by the way, we're going to talk about retirement. We have a very special guest. What's your take on retirement, Dr. K?
Yeah, Dr. K.
Dr. Bernie, what's your take on retirement?
My take on retirement is it reminds me of a term when I was a kid. When your car had a bad tire, you retired it. You put a new tread on an old carcass. Well, it sounds like that to me, and I think there's a different word. I was talking to one of your interns today, and she kind of agreed with me that the word should be not retire, but aspire.
Aspire.
Yeah, I'm reaching my age of aspirement. I'm going to aspire now.
Ah.
I'm not retiring means, what happens at a party? Someone says, I'm going to retire. Oh, good night.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
They're off to sleep.
Right.
But I aspire to retire.
Well, how can you fit the word, the concept of retiring into aspiring? Re-aspiring. How about that?
No, I think I'm going to... I live in the now, and right now, from here forward, I'm aspiring. What I did in the past is old news. I mean, you know, I can read about that.
You live in the now?
I'm trying to.
What happened to...
I just left the now, and now I'm back in the present with you again. Okay.
You're not in the now.
Oops.
Oh, you were just... Oh,
George Carlin.
We're going to the future. What is that George Carlin thing? When you're five, you can't wait to be six. When you're five, you tell people if you're 6 months... I'm five and a half. 6 and a half, right?
I'm almost 80.
Then you hit 30, right?
Right. You slam
you
right
turn
in.
Turn 20, but then you hit 30.
You slam into 40.
And at the end, you're telling people you're... I tell people I'm older than I am so everybody can say, God, you don't look that old.
Isn't that something when you think you look good? When you think... Now, like, I think I look good for my age, right? Which is like saying...
I mean,
for an old car, it doesn't rattle a lot.
You've been retired very well.
I've been aspiring. But I really think that what happens is you get into that stage where you start saying, I find myself doing little chicken thing. What happens is I find myself getting a massage in Vegas. And I go to someone I never met before, and I'm on the table. And I'm in pretty good condition. Just for kicks, you know. I mean, your tip doesn't depend on this. How old do you think I really am? I mean, be honest. Sure, she's going to be honest. Be honest. God, I mean, you're 50s? And I said, no, I know you're lying to me, so I'm not going to tip you. I really think you're probably 65, is that right? So they go on and on. It's a horrible battle because it's a no-win game because at best they're going to give it to us at our age gee, you look great for late 50s, early 60s. Well, that's what, not much of a reward.
Well, I can't imagine what you really want. But, okay, you know, sooner or later, everyone has to make a decision about when they retire, what it looks like, where they want to spend their retirement. Many of us here in Santa Barbara have made the where decision already, and it's definitely an expensive one. Our guest today, who is Jan Cullinane, I hope I'm pronouncing it right, we'll ask her, will tell us about other options, where the best retirement places are, and what do we need to make it there. She's co-author of the book, The New Retirement, The Ultimate Guide to the Rest of Your Life. So stick with us for this enlightening interview. It's a best-selling book, and I think she'll have a lot to say. Bernie, you need to find out more about retirement, because obviously you're having too much fun. You should be sitting back, watching more TV, you know, having taking rides in a rickshaw or something. Just, you know, just
denial's a great friend.
Uh-huh.
I mean, because, see, I see there is no value into buying into the stereotypes that have been presented to us. For example, we live in California. We're kind of the Hollywood kind of guys. We live in we are not the same people, forgive us, from Montana. Because people in Montana at 40 and 50 years old look like my grandparents.
How do you know that?
I've Nobody seen many of them. Seen Wait, many
are
of
you a
people.
Montana expert?
Well, or Iowa. When I spent
time. Oh, wouldn't they get to insult Iowa, too?
I spent time to
so
Iowa.
So far, we've got to apologize to
Nebraska,
Montana.
All the blue states. But anyway.
You're getting us deeper and deeper in trouble.
No,
the more you speak, the deeper we get into trouble.
Well, the deeper we get into trouble, the more room we have to dig out. So this is good. It gives us something to do in our retirement.
Well, you know what we ought to do now? We ought to really do the news story. For a little humor, I think you need to be perked up a little bit. So I'm going to tell you.
This coffee is working.
I'm going to tell you a couple of stories that come out of today's newspapers, okay? Mm-hmm. There are outlaws terrorizing Poland and Germany. Did you know that?
No, I never heard about that.
Okay, well, a pair of bank robbers burst into tears and collapsed, choking, in Poland. Did you know that?
No, but it sounds good.
A local policeman said they told the cashier to open the open the till, and then tried to put her out of action by using pepper spray on her. But the downside of it was they were in front of a heating unit. So they tried to grab the cash, but the pepper sprayed back in their faces because of the blast of warm air from the heater.
Red hot chili peppers.
So they collapsed to the floor. They were choking. They were crawling, trying to get out. They only managed to escape because they had a pal outside in a getaway car, said the Polish police. Security cameras showed the crooks were wearing woolly black baklavas, although Polish media speculated if they strike again, they might well have switched to gas masks.
That's a very interesting story, David.
Okay, yeah. I got a better one for you.
I was glad I was doing Pilates while you were watching the news.
Here's one called A Good Sheep Will Do That. German police are trying to trace the owner of a sheep which outran police patrol cars and beat up a police dog, Bernie. Police in German village of Gester say the sheep ran through the streets of the town at more than 30 miles per hour. It reportedly leapt over the bonnets of police cars used as a roadblock to cut off its escape, and I'm not going to tell you what happened. But they're still chasing that sheep.
You know what I think? Yeah. I would like to see the picture of who was the guy chasing that sheep.
Yeah.
To make him run that fast.
We're going to put that in a movie, too. Talking to our guest, Jan Cullinane. She's the co-author of the best-selling book, The New Retirement, The Ultimate Guide to the Rest of Your Life. She has a BS. We have a BS here,
That's
Bernie Sandler.
Initials,
we
right?
got two BSs. He's more of a BS, though. And an Master of Education from the University of Maryland, and she's the retirement expert for NABBW, National Association of Baby Boomer Women. I think that was started by Dotsie Brago, right? Yeah, we'll find out. And a regular contributor to Ocean Breeze and Let Life In magazine. Hi, Jan.
Hello. How are you today?
We're pretty good. Thanks for being with us.
I'm delighted to be here.
We understand that you also have the bizarre ability to speak backwards.
That's right. In fact, I even tried out
Why?
For David Letterman's Stupid Human Tricks, but didn't make it.
Well, I was thinking, if I said to you, Ole, Nodge, what does that mean?
Hello, Jan.
How about that?
And I would say, Elo, Divad.
Hello, David.
Do you actually
I read it?
Do you visualize it?
I can just visualize it. A Sinaki cat. I can talk forward just like I can talk backwards.
It's fantastic.
Backwards just
that's
like I can talk forward. So, yes.
It's fantastic.
You speak with forked tongue. This is very dangerous.
Well,
I'm usually asked if I'm dyslexic, but no, I could just sort of visualize it and
well, at least
see
it's
it in the air floating and kind of read it backwards.
It's that's something fun good. That you can do in retirement, right?
Talk that's to people right. Back. It could take up many hours of your 168 hours a week
that's
that
you're right.
trying to meaningfully use, yes.
So we've been reading your book. We think it's really excellent. We have, you know, our audience is what we call the third age, people uh-huh. who are from 45 on. Some of them are retired. Some of them are thinking about retiring. Some of them plan to work till they're 90. So the question I want to ask you is, first of all, how did you come to write the book?
Well, that is a good question. I'm a boomer and was a trailing spouse, moved around a lot, so started thinking about, now that I've lost my roots, where am I going to ultimately live? And then I thought, besides the location and, of course, the money, which everybody talks about, there's also psychological factors, of course, that go into this transition if people are leaving a primary career. There's also what are you going to do, again, with those 168 hours a week. There's always helpful kinds of surveys and questionnaires. And so myself and co-author Kathy Fitzgerald decided we'd put it all into a wonderful guide that would be holistic in approach and look at all the facets and be very helpful to people like myself who kind of had lost their roots and wanted to know all the different facets and how to best approach retirement.
Does this just apply to people that would retire? What if somebody lost their way at 20?
It really is a more toward boomers as far as relocation, but I have to say I agree with you, Bernie, in that the word retirement really should be retired. There are all other kinds of words. You use the word aspire to retire.
We were just
I
saying
like
that this
phrase.
Morning. Did you hear me
yes,
saying
that? Yes,
you heard
me.
I did hear you say that,
oh,
yes.
Okay. Yeah, aspiring.
You know,
aspiring.
Rewire, retool, renew, some with the yeah. R-E in front of it, some not. So
denial. It all works.
So in other words, you don't want to use the word retire like a lot of people don't want to use the word senior. Is that it?
Senior's
has an old connotation of something that doesn't exist anymore?
I wouldn't say it doesn't exist because I think you have to look at with over 76 million boomers out there, one size does not fit all. Some do want what is considered the more traditional retirement. Others want several forays into and out of all kinds of different careers. Others want to continue forever in what they're doing now. They found their passion. They're happy with it. By all means, if they're happy doing that and they have a significant other and the significant other is happy doing that, I would say go for it. So I think there are many possible avenues to explore. There's not going to be one thing we can say for 76 million boomers that would be true.
Well, I think that, as Einstein said, it was the mystery that was far greater than the reality of life. And I think that it's a kind of thing that when you get into life, you don't know what it is you want to do or not do. But I sort of have a simple motto that takes along these lines. It doesn't matter what we do or how we do it, only how it makes us feel. And if you use that as a barometer, I mean, of course, not being a killer, but as a decent, civilized person, the only real question you have to ask yourself in any action or any path you're taking is, how's this making me feel?
Yes, but I'd say there might be the larger society at hand, too. Are you doing something that makes you feel good but can also be contributing to the good of others?
Well,
if you
I
have
think
a significant other, if it makes you feel good but it doesn't make them feel good, one of the points we say is how do you kind of renegotiate roles if it's something that, hey, you want to lay and watch television every day for 18 yeah. hours a day and that makes you feel good?
Yeah.
I'm not so sure I can go along with that,
well,
to be honest.
If you believed in the Buddhist thinking, you start with yourself, your self-personal feeling, and then it works, spreads around you. So the idea would be if 18 hours a day made me feel good watching television, what did it matter? One day I'm going to be dead anyway, so if that was what I liked in the process, what did I have to do to achieve to make other people like what I did? You know, were there other people out there that needed to approve whether I watched television that much or not, or was it up to me? If I wasn't depriving a family of food by not working, perhaps. But I'm retired, so I don't have to work anymore. I mean, it's just a thought.
Well, I think what Bernie is assuming in that statement is that everybody's like him. Bernie is very concerned with making others feel good. He does a lot of work for the ECHO system. He does a lot of work for people who are in trouble, Darfur, wherever. Bernie is very, very giving in that sense. But he's going on the supposition that everybody has those motives when they do what they want to do.
Well, if that's the case, then yes, that's a good motto. I happen to like Eleanor Roosevelt's quote of "Do something that scares you every day." That too begins with the individual.
That's great.
But that's that idea of isn't that a great one as well?
Yeah, it's a great.
I don't like it.
Why not?
I'll be honest. Okay. I mean, I loved Eleanor Roosevelt. I mean, she is one of my heroines. But
why don't you like that?
I don't like it because I don't think that it's like the same thing as like, let's go skydiving, let's get the adrenaline rushing, let's go climb a rocky cliff, climb a mountain, because it scares me. Scare is just stimulating your own fear to be a high. That's a form of drugs. Well, going to that movie, that big movie that won the Oscar this year, the most horrendous movie I ever saw, No Country for Old Men, It was all about fear. It was all about generating fear and terror in people. And yet, under the name of art, it was accepted. So I don't think
she was talking about fear and terror. I think she was talking about expanding your horizons.
Yeah.
I think she was talking about do something that you've been afraid to do because you haven't. In other words,
Bernie,
you
fear.
Always wanted. Exactly. Okay. You always wanted to write a book.
Right.
And you wrote a couple of books. Yeah. But now you keep talking about you want to do it again.
Yeah.
So if you're afraid to do it, try. You know what? That's what she means.
I accept. Yeah, I changed my mind. I thought you meant to be, really charge yourself up with terrifying events.
No, more trying new things, get out of your comfort zone.
Hey, Jan, how do people know, how do you know if you're ready to retire?
Well, I think we tend to all like lists, and I came up with three very short questions I think you can ask yourself that will let you know if you're ready to retire.
Oh, this is a great cliffhanger. Guess what?
And I'm writing
it
down.
And Bernie's got his pen paused over his pen.
We're
going to take a break here for our sponsors, and we're going to come right back with the third age with Jan Cullinane, David Devin, and Bernie Sanders.
So hurry up with this break.
Listen to Beauty Now, the intersection of cosmetic surgery, longevity, and biomedical innovation for confident decisions in preventative aging on personallifemedia.com.
We're back with the third age. Where third agers come to connect with each other and connect with me, the man from Hollywood, and Bernie Sandler, the doctor of kibitzing.
Quite a distinction. I used to own a major talent agency, and I'm reduced to a doctor of kibitzing. Thank you very much.
Well, Marissa wanted to know, she said, what's kibitzing?
It's like schmoozing.
We are happy to have as our guest Jan Cullinane, who's the author of a book on retirement, which is called The New Retirement, The Ultimate Guide to the Rest of Your Life. Welcome back to the show, Jan.
Thank you.
Okay, so we were on the cliffhanger. What are the three steps or rules of knowing when you're ready to retire?
All right. Ask yourself these questions.
Okay.
Do you have enough? Have you had enough? And do you have enough to do?
Wait a second. Do you have enough? Yeah. Have you had enough? Enough what?
Have you had enough? That second one, are you ready to try new things? Are you ready to go out, assuming you have enough and you're financially secure? So that answers that. Do you have enough? Have you had enough? In other words, are you ready to embark upon new avenues, try out new things, thinking about the fact you'd have 168 hours a week.
What is this 168 hours?
Yeah,
where do you
get 24
that? Times 7.
24 times 7 is 168. Yeah. Well, yeah, 20. But what do you do when you're sleeping?
And movies.
Let's cut that. Let's cut that down by eight. Drums. By 8 times 7. 40. 8 times 7 is what? Whatever it is, 56.
My Ambien wears off.
Cut it down to 100 hours. Okay. Let's talk about those 100 hours, Jan, because... Anyways, okay, do you have enough? Have you had enough? And what's number three?
And do you have enough to do?
And do you
in other words, what is going to take the place? For many of us, since we're talking about 7 or 8 hours of work, and you think, what does work do for most people? It gives us some structure. It gives us social contact. It provides intellectual stimulation for a lot of us. For many of our jobs, it provides a way of giving something back, perhaps. So if that's going to be removed, whether by choice or whether by the fact that we're downsized or right-sized, or you're a pilot, you have to, you know, I know they're trying to change those numbers now, but certain professions where you have to retire at a certain point, then what are you going to do
to
change that?
Let's ask Dr. Burney if he can answer those questions. Dr. Burney, do you have enough?
Do I have enough? I have enough of some things, but I don't have enough of others. So do I have to have totally enough to do this?
Jan, does he need
not
totally
if
enough?
You're going into a second career, but for the lifestyle you're hoping for, do you have enough to support it?
We're just you're talking about money.
Oh,
you're
financial.
Talking about mainly money.
Oh, okay. We're talking about money with number one. Yeah.
Okay. I'm covered. Next.
You're covered. Okay.
Next.
Have you had enough?
Have
doing
I had
what
enough?
What you're doing.
Uh-huh. Boy, I've had enough. I've had enough so many times, but sometimes I like that enough. It was not. It was not enough. Enough. It's ambivalent there. You just have to understand I'm very ADD, so I bounce all over the place. Sometimes I'm sick and tired of business, and I never want to see it again. The next day I can't get out of bed quick enough to work on a deal. So.
All right. So you probably want to maintain maybe what you're doing, but perhaps pursue some new avenues as well?
Yes, I do have other dreams.
But wait a second. Let me ask you a question.
That seem to get in the way of my day-to-day routine, the old habit.
Jan, isn't the first question enough for anybody, the way it's phrased now? Do you have enough to retire? Yes, then retire. What? Why would somebody? I mean, that's the main question, isn't it? That's what all the commercials are about.
But what do you do now in that
space? Well, not if it's just the money part. Not if you just have enough to do. I mean, you can look at Lee Iacocca. I just read an interview that someone had with him, and even he said, you know, no, it's not enough to talk about the financial aspects. We have to talk about the psychological aspects, because you think of what he has amassed in terms of money, he certainly has enough, but look and what he's done, gone out and founded new foundations, he taught school, he got into many different kinds of things afterwards. So obviously he had enough money-wise, but he hadn't had enough of what work and contributing.
Well, we've had a lot of guests on the show, and I don't think that we've heard that the majority of people have enough to retire when they hit a certain age. I think that most people need to keep working or doing something for income. I think a very small percentage, maybe 40%, maybe not that small, will have enough money to retire if it's that many.
There's an old saying, though, if you don't know what it is you want, you never have enough of it.
That it's old because nobody uses it anymore, and because nobody knows what that means.
Well, because you'd be surprised how many people we know that have more than enough money.
Yeah,
and they keep beating the bushes like they forgot that they can change shift to the gears now. It's a different part of their life, and they're caught up in that rhythm of what they're used to doing, and it's comfort zone of staying in that same business. Even though it brings them pain, it's better than not knowing what not to do when they're done.
So they have enough money. They've solved number one. Do you have enough? But they haven't had enough of what they're doing. Is that what you're saying?
They haven't found something enough to do that will take them away from there.
And that's
opinion.
A good point, because when surveys are given and people are asked, why do you want to retire, the number one reason is to do other things.
Yeah.
But you're right. In some cases, even doing the status quo is easier. You don't have to make any decisions. You don't have to go beyond your comfort zone. Or you're really truly enjoying what you like doing. So, of course, you would continue doing it. And that is very important to think about.
Okay, so let's assume that we've got people out there who have decided on the basis of these three steps that they are ready to retire. What about relocating? Are there specific characteristics of an ideal retirement location? Now, don't forget, we're in Santa Barbara. I think you couldn't get any better than this.
We're at the end point.
You probably can't get any better than that, and you are right about that. And there is sort of a laundry list of things that people should think about when they're thinking about retiring, picking up and leaving. And before I kind of go into a quick list, keep in mind, though, things like social support. If you have deep roots in a place to actually pick up and move, you've got to think about what it is you're leaving. What are you retiring? You know, are you retiring from something or retiring to something? Are you trying to get away from, say, bad weather and too nice weather? But are you retiring from your friends, your social contacts, your church, perhaps, if you're involved in one, physicians, all those sorts of things, and going to someplace else? That's something you need to think about. But, you know, people are obviously all sort of looking for the same thing. They're looking for good medical facilities, or they should be. They may feel tip-top and great now, but it's good to know where is.
Well, Bernie, looks like I think that's your downhill.
I just take a very good entourage of top physicians with me wherever I go. I'll just make them a wonderful home environment. One of the things here that you may have done in your book already, or if you haven't, feel free to steal it from me because it's a gift. I did something for me recently, which was I sat down, I cleared a day for myself, and I sat down with a yellow pad and I said, write a perfect day in the life of Bernie Sandler. Include, not that it would be one typical day because you can't do all those things in one day, but generic things in a day that would make my day great, like get up in the morning and meditate and eat organic food and go to the gym, take a walk, play with my dog, read a book, play the piano, whatever it was, all the things like, and my God, I was so busy, I didn't have time to do any of this stuff that I have worried about having to do because it was all I knew to do, like the business and things. And that's an interesting page.
What do you think
write.
About that, Jan?
Well, we've actually do talks where that is sometimes how we begin. We give people a 3x5 card and say exactly that. All right. And in terms of thinking what would their ultimate retirement location or how do they envision their retirement, and write down what their perfect day would be. Kind of like a Tuesdays with Maury.
You're ahead of the game, Bernie. Yeah. You're ahead of the
I
game.
You have to write it.
Yeah. Okay. We're going to, Jan, don't go away and nobody else go away because we're going to be back in just a moment to talk more about retirement.
Hi, this is Renee Stevens, host of Inside Out Weight Loss. If you want to be a thin person, you have to learn how to think like one. Learn how on my weekly show that aligns mind, body, and spirit for lasting change. Find me on iTunes or at personallifemedia.com. That's Inside Out Weight Loss, how to think like a thin person, on personallifemedia.com.
We're back with the Third Age. This is David Devin, the man from Hollywood. I'm here with Dr. K, Dr. Kibitzing, Bernie Sandler, Marissa Scobasi, and Lisa Headley, our engineer. And we're talking to Jan Cullinane, whose book you can buy anywhere, wherever books are sold, she said, The New Retirement, Ultimate Guide to the Rest of Your Life. It's published by Riddale, and you can get it anywhere. And it talks a lot about places that you can find and to go to if you want to move, if you want to change your lifestyle, if you want to change the cost of living, if you want to be near to your relatives or friends, whatever it is, there's a whole checklist of comparisons of places to go. What we'd like to ask, Jan, you're with us, right?
I am.
Great. Uh-huh. You mentioned something called niche retirement. I think that's spelled N-I-C-H-E. Is that right?
Is that Nosh? Yeah. Nosh retirement.
Nosh retirement is...
I like that, too.
Nosh retirement is not for Weight Watchers.
Okay. No.
But niche retirement, what is that?
Well, that's if you're looking more for a lifestyle rather than a location. You know, some examples would be, what if you're an amateur astronomer? You could go live in the Arizona Sky Village near Tucson, Arizona, where people, the skies are so clear, there's very little light pollution, and you can have your own little observatory there. So a group of people have done that based on common interests.
Boring. You know, next. I need more action than watching the stars move by.
All right. Okay. How about you want to be a Martha Stewart wannabe? KB Homes has teamed up with Martha Stewart and are building homes that have her particular flair. That would be an example of a niche or a niche, however you want to pronounce the word.
I think Bernie is interested in being a sex researcher.
A sex researcher?
Where would he go for that?
a college community.
Bernie, where would you go for that? At your age,
I think Sex Anonymous program. I'd like to start. Only
there
kidding.
There you go.
Only kidding. All you people came here tonight. Only kidding. We're having a party. Anyway, no.
I like this idea of niche retirement, though. But doesn't if you gauge your retirement on one particular thing that you love to do, doesn't it start to get narrow?
It depends, I guess, if it's your passion or not. Obviously, you know, you'd want to have other things within reasonable proximity. Cultural opportunities and other kinds of, like we mentioned before, the medical stuff and shopping or whatever it is that you need to fill your basic needs. But in some cases, people have these real passions and there we go.
Well, tell me,
on a ship, well, that's another one.
Tell us a actual story of somebody who decided in retirement to change their life and move to another place.
Well, I could use certainly my own example, or many of the people I know. My own example, I grew up in the Washington, D.C. area, and I did move around a number of times, and now I'm living in a fabulous place in Florida. So I certainly picked up and moved after my kids left for school one day, and I flew down and looked at this place and bought a lot, and later my husband and I built a house.
What do you think about that, Bernie?
Well, that's unique. That's a thing. You know, you were talking about the ship cruise, and I've checked into that. I think that's the greatest for anybody. I think you can't beat that one.
Stay on a ship for a period of time?
You buy a year or two on a ship, and you live on the ship, and it goes different places.
Well, that could be great.
You have your own suite, and you have all your meals, and you're different places, and you have different friends join you if they want. And you're moving all the time, and new people are coming on all the time on the ship, so you have new people to play with. Because they're on for 2 weeks, you're on for a year, so you have and you knew all the crew members, and you got doctors on board.
Do you pay in advance?
You pay in advance, and it's cheaper. It's cheaper than a retirement home.
Wow!
Really? And is there assistant? Yeah. Do they have medical staff and everything?
Sure, they have doctors and nurses on every ship.
Uh-huh.
They can treat seasickness. If you have a gallbladder operation, they treat you for seasickness. It doesn't make much difference at that age. What do we care? But I think there's one thing I wanted to also ask about. If it's ever been done, and if it hasn't, why this isn't an area of interest. There are so many books being written now by people that are reaching their middle years about the middle years. It's sort of like letting the horse out, you know, after the barn is locked type of thing. Why don't children in school start being indoctrinated with information about what aging is going to be like and has been like and historically what it's like and how people...
Children or teenagers, college kids.
You are getting to a point where, sure, you're at the age of your life where this doesn't mean much to you, but I'm going to plant a little seed in your head that if you're lucky, you're going to be like those people in this documentary.
Mm-hmm.
Well, and if you plan some things now and you start cultivating hobbies, I wish I would have cultivated a hobby because I like right now wish I was wood carving or something that I didn't do it. I'd done that at an earlier stage in life.
I wish you were doing that right now too.
Give me a knife, I'll carve. But I think that if people were plant some seeds of some activities that will carry into their later life, not just tennis and skiing and things like that you have to give up sometime. It would be a big benefit, or writing, or things, and let them know that it's with that intention that we're doing this, because someday, if you're lucky enough to live long enough, these will be tools that will help you.
Well, Marissa's taken a college course on aging. What was your course like? How did it help you?
Well, it helped me just kind of realize about the aging process, because we talked about the different aspects of how society is really very ageist. And everything like the media and things like that, they always put down older people. But basically what we were taught was that you shouldn't think of it that way, because once you get up into that age, it's all about your psychological aspect of how you are and who you are. And I don't know, you always have to keep growing and expanding your mind.
Yeah, that's very psychological.
But did it give you a goal like he's talking about? You know you're going to get older and someday you're going to want to have a hobby or something like that?
No, actually, it's all, well... It was more theoretical, I think. Mm-hmm. That's the problem, I think, with college. It's not real. They never really teach you how to apply your skills.
Very interesting.
Yeah. It's all about theory. But, I mean, I guess...
But can you imagine if you were at this stage, if you were taught certain, just one or two classes that were just saying preparation for an inevitable time, if God's willing. And
they practice on walkers.
And you don't have to do that, but you see the potential things happening, like me just now hurting my knee. I'm a walker. I'm active all the time. I'm limping around the house. I'm saying, God, this is how it happens. It's just I was never ready for all of a sudden having to limp right now and be incapacitated for a little while.
Yeah.
So it's, I don't know how much they can envision, you can envision, but I think that you can get some heads up so that when it comes, it isn't like you're just hitting a wall and you say, oh, I'm old. I better start reading all these books, but damn it, my eyes aren't good enough.
So, Jan, do you think that people who are in their 30s and 40s should be thinking about retirement, what they're going to do at this point?
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. And Bertie has a great point that a lot of the books will say at this point now, when you're reading it maybe in your 40s and 50s, look back and what is it you did as a kid? Did you perform in a play in your high school and get back into that community theater? Was that something you enjoyed doing? You know, did you play tennis? And I know he said maybe other things besides sports that you could do forever, but go back and start playing. Why not? Did you enjoy swimming? Well, go back to that again. Many of us get so caught up, and then we can look back on things that we did do and enjoy. But he has a great point if we started telling kids when they're young, but I think as kids, most of them will look at someone old and say, I'm never going to be like that.
You know,
I'm
isn't
never
going
to get old. I'm never going to get sick. My knees are never going to go bad.
Right.
And it's tough to say, hey, you know what? This is going to happen to you. We didn't believe it. You know,
right.
anybody over 30, we've all lived through it.
You know, when I was a kid, I swear to God, I thought that old people were born that way and just lived 80 years like that. You know, it didn't dawn on me that they were once little children, because it always amazed you when you see a photo of them as a child or a beautiful young girl. It was this old lady. And that's what I think happens. I was this quick little story. A friend of mine, Sandy DeVore, the writer in Hollywood, standing in Nate's Deli years and years ago. I'll talk right. Years and years ago, we were standing there. And we used to go there all the time in our 30s and eat lunch and all that. And I saw it out and I said, look at all the old Jews standing out in front talking. We're Jews. All the old Jews standing out talking and kibitzing. And I went there with him a couple of years ago and I walked out and I stood out there with him. And I said, Sandy. And he said, what? I said, guess what? And he said, what? I said, we're the old Jews.
So okay, I just want to ask everybody listening, please don't call the station to protest against Bernie's use of the stereotype.
I am Jewish. I can
that allows
myself.
Him to do that.
I can knock myself.
We want to remind Jan. We want to thank you for being with us. We want to remind everybody that this book is going to be very helpful. The New Retirement: The Ultimate Guide to the Rest of Your Life. Jan Cullinane, and you have a writing partner who is
Kathy Fitzgerald.
You can get the book anywhere. If we have Jan on the show again, we'll ask her. We'll have a whole conversation backwards.
And I commend you for doing what you're doing, using up what's left of your life, trying to make other people's lives good.
We'll be right back with the Third Age. Don't go away.
Listen to Just for Women, Dating, Relationships, and Sex, a weekly internet audio program from personallifemedia.com. Fresh inspiration and expanded relationship options for today's woman.
We're back on the Third Age, where third agers come to talk, share, connect, and have a great time. David Devin, the man from Hollywood, here with Dr. K, Bernie Sandler. And we were just talking about retirement and where to go and what to do. What did you learn today, Bernie, that you didn't know before? Not that something you said, but something you did not know before.
What I didn't know was that I was going to be here until yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
That I didn't know.
You learned that.
I somewhat have a sense of what she was saying, so I didn't feel like I learned anything unique, because I'm a believer in working on creating new things to enhance the next part of your life. And I think that what she's doing is noble work, because it is helping other people that are lost out there, that are those old guys standing in the corner.
Well, we... I cleaned it up. Yeah, thank you. Right. We don't want to insult anybody. We just want to have a good time. So you are retired yourself, Bernie, right?
Right.
But I have noticed that even in your retirement, you have not seemed to diminish your activity. You still go to all the parties. You still go out and do trips and walking tours. You went skiing. You do your investment business. When are you going to slow down?
I don't know if slowing down is the answer. I think that what's happened is the word retirement to me, I always, when people ask me what does it mean, I always say retirement means you just stop doing that stuff you don't have to do. Hmm. And it gives you time to do the things you want to do. So retirement isn't necessarily a bad word. You know, it's sort of it's freedom.
That's freedom.
True. Yeah.
So if you don't want to be nice to people, you just stop it, right?
No, I like being nice to people because I believe in karma and I believe in a universal world and love. Yeah, I do believe in that.
And speaking of that, we're going to be talking about that in our workshop, which is going to be on, is it March 22nd?
Yes.
March 22nd, coming up this week, this coming Saturday.
That's right. Yeah.
At the Schott Center at Adult Ed, SBCC Adult Ed. Dr. Brill and myself will be there. We'll be talking about what you can do with the rest of your life and how you can have more fun and how you can find your purpose, fulfill your purpose, and...
and I may be in the audience. I may be in the audience as a heckler, so be prepared.
Okay. What is your purpose?
What is my purpose?
Yes.
My purpose is to be as happy with what's going on in my life as I can. That's my purpose.
And I think your purpose is also to spread around joy wherever you can, because it seems like you're the person who connects people with each other, who always is encouraging people to have a good time and to do good for others.
That's what brings me peace in doing what I do.
Yeah. So don't forget about the workshop. We want to thank Marissa Scobasi, Lisa Headley, Les Carroll, and is that it? Okay, we'll be back next time. This is the Third Age.
Find more great shows like this on personallifemedia.com.